around the world. The Spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Hello, friends. This is Pastor David Langford. It's Tuesday, July the 9th, 2019. We'd like to welcome you today to this edition of the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. We welcome you today. We thank you for allowing us to be a part of your life today and sharing and ministering the Word of God. It's always a joy to be with you, and I certainly trust and pray that it's a joy for me to be with you, and that you are always a joy to be with me. It's always a blessing to know that there are so many devoted Christians who love an uncompromising message from the Word of God. Regretfully, there's not a lot of devotedness in Christianity today. A lot of people say, I'm a Christian, but there's no fruit of Christianity. A lot of people even bother to go to church, but it's no more than a nightclub atmosphere. It's no more than a gathering at a racetrack or some sporting event, because they don't talk about the deep things of God, neither do they allow the Holy Spirit of God to move and to have preeminence in their hearts, lives, and in their services. Amen. I want to remind you that our DVDs are now available for a love gift of just $50. You can have those 10 DVDs and a beautiful album. They're available now. You will enjoy them immensely. They will bless your heart and your life greatly. Also, if you're hearing us on WWCR, Worldwide Christian Radio, I need to hear from you. I need you to say, hey, Pastor, we're hearing you on WWCR. Most people now have gone to a digital format or listening to the program through a computer venue, whether it's a podcast using a cell phone or their computer or whatever the case might be. We need to hear from you if you're hearing the Voice of Evangelism on WWCR. Also, we've already rescheduled Hickory, North Carolina, April the 16th through the 19th. The revival meeting is called Power Failure in the Church. Power Failure in the Church. So right now, myself, Steve Quayle, Russ Dizdar, Jimmy D. Smith, they're already slated. They're coming. We'll be adding hopefully another guest or two. We're going to eliminate the evening service from like 2:30 to 7 o'clock. We're going to eliminate that evening service because I know people, it's a strain. It's a perpetual strain to be at every one of these sessions, these meetings. And so we felt like it would be more advantageous to do away with two of those meeting services and give you time to rest so you can have your strength to enjoy all of the conference, I should say, all of the revival meeting series, and they will be a blessing to you. So we've already got it posted on the website, Power Failure in the Church. And for a love gift of $100 for registration, that covers the renting the building, the audio, the video, all the things that we're doing, and, of course, to take care of the speakers, their honorarium, and their motel bills, etc. These things, like anything else, it costs. And as I said so many times, we're not trying to make money here at the Voice of Evangelism. That's why we're doing this, because we love the people of God. So we don't have any gimmickry, no chicanery, no trickery, no personal seating or things of that nature to try to coerce people to spend more money. Our products are there as far as books, DVDs, but there's none of the other fringe stuff that's about making money. We're not into making money. We're into ministering the Word of God. So please, get registered. We're looking at probably cutting the number off at 800 or 850 in that building. Last year was our first year to do this. We had great success. We had somewhere around 750 attendees. And so this year, We're looking at maybe bumping it up, but cutting it off at around 800 or 850 with the building and its accommodations, cutting it off at that number for the purpose of having a great place together and not overcrowded, and have time to spend with the people of God. I met so many of you, shook your hand, hugged your neck, took photos with you on your cell phones. So many people came from so many places. And the greatest overwhelming part that people enjoyed the most was the altar calls. I'll be checking out several venues. One of them is Rome, Georgia, maybe Evansville, Indiana. But we've got to go to the location and look at the building to make sure we can accommodate people when it comes to making altar calls, making appeals for people to come down to the altar and seek the presence of God. These revival meetings are not about information. They are about ministry. They are about ministering to the people of God. Jimmy D shared with me just the other day, I didn't know this. He and I were talking on the phone, and a lady came up to him and confessed to him she had been committing adultery on her husband and that God had redeemed her. The morning he ministered the word of God, and she asked him, what do I do? He said, you forget the past, and you reach forth unto those things which are before you. He encouraged her to do her first works again. Repent, be water baptized, do these things that you did initially, and go back and reconcile and let God restore your marriage. This is what it's all about. This is why we do what we do. We don't do this to try to build a large listening audience or how many likes or dislikes. You know, I'm going to say this, don't take this wrong. I know some will. It doesn't matter to me whether you like me or not. That doesn't matter to me. My job is to preach the word of God. You can click all the thumbs down or don't like. That's all right. Go ahead. But we have a far more thumbs up when it comes to our videos and things than we do thumbs down. But that's just part of people who hate God. They hate God. They hate the truth. They call me sometimes a man that speaks hate. No, you hate the truth. I speak the truth. I preach against sin. I preached against every element of sin. And people loathe that. They despise it. They hate that. But I'm not your nominal, run-of-the-mill, so-called preacher who's not going to say anything about sin. Sin separates men from God. So these revival meetings are all about getting you closer to God, having an encounter with God, being ministered to by the Word, by the power, and by the Spirit of God. So the next revival meeting will be entitled, the theme is Power, Failure in the Church. Power, Failure in the Church. I know it'll touch your heart and life and minister to you. Please go to our website, The Voice of Evangelism, and register. I know that God will bless you and your heart and life immensely. Want to play a beautiful song today. Before we go into the Word of God, we've started this new series, The Depravity of Man. The Depravity of Man. We're going to initiate this in talking about how depraved man is in his humanity. I know that will offend some people. Nevertheless, it is the truth. Want to play a beautiful song today by the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir, simply entitled, That's Why God. That's Why God. I pray it'll bless your heart and life immensely.
Filled with compassion.
God sent his son. That's why you and I were sinners. We needed to be redeemed. There was no way for man to come back to God except through his son, Jesus Christ. Had Jesus not given his life, we all would still be dead in our trespasses and in our sin. But we're not dead. We're alive because of Christ living, abiding, aboding, having taken up a place of residence within our hearts. What a powerful, powerful, powerful truth that is. Began this series on July the 1st. The depravity of man. It will take us, as always, a measure of time to get through this, because we're going to point out just how depraved man is. We're going to bring to light the depravity of man. But we're going to follow it up with salvation, repentance, and redemption for all mankind. When we left yesterday, Monday, we were speaking from Romans chapter 6, verse 12. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Sin in the mortal body. As I shared with you, mortal simply means to be subject to death. Sin is an offense to a holy God. Never question or doubt the holiness, the hallowedness of God. In his hearing, he hears 24/7. Revelation 4, verse 8, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. His holiness is in perpetuity. Sensuality and gratification are the two most compelling lusts within the body. Sensuality and gratification are the two compelling lusts within the mortal body. Sin and lust can never be satisfied. Sin, as I said yesterday, is like a cancer. The word cancer means any evil condition that spreads destructively. Does not sin destroy everything that it touches? Sunday, I was in prayer, in the Word, and I got to thinking about the sin of homosexuality. What do they call it? Pride Gay Day. Pride. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Ezekiel 16, verse 49 says, behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom, pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness. I watched some weeks ago, as you did, all of these homosexuals in the streets. What a sordid perversion of humanity. And to think they call it Pride Gay Day. They are forcing this agenda of acceptance. Now it's gone psychosis. They're psychotic. Once psychosis sets in, I'm talking from a sinful perspective. I'm not talking about a psychiatric, and I'm certainly not trying to diagnose anyone, but from a psychiatric, psychological perspective, psychosis simply means you are devoid of reality. You're in an environment, but the reality of your environment does not bear witness with your conscience. If I do this, this is the result. It's though they are totally, as I said, devoid of everything in the natural. But Ezekiel said, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom, and the first thing was pride. Now, as I said earlier, sensuality and gratification are the two compelling elements of lust within the human body. You cannot satisfy, you cannot gratify, you cannot please lust. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust. Lust demands it be obeyed. It demands obedience. Notice the words of Christ in John 8:44. He said, you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Jesus said to the Pharisees, ye are of your father the devil. Now either God is your father or Satan is your father. You can't be the child of both. You cannot be the child of both. You either serve God or you serve the devil. Now, I know that sounds harsh. That sounds crass. I know that some of the things I will say will offend people, make people angry, make people mad, make people dislike me. That doesn't bother me. Your hate mail, your hate email, that doesn't bother me. I just throw it in the trash. I disregard it. Stephen reads them. I don't read them. I don't want to be so ugly to say, I don't care. But the truth is, I don't let it affect me. Years ago, I started discerning in my spirit mail. I throw it in the trash can before I ever left the post office. I don't get the mail anymore. My wife does. I would just throw it in the trash can. I've sent more money back to people than you can shake a stick at, because I'm not a hireling. Now, I've had people to write me, send me an offering, and then rebuke me, chastise me in their letter, and I would read the letter, put their money back in an envelope, and send it back to them. I'm not a hireling. I have no greed. I have no lust. I have no covetousness in my heart for your money. Your money pays the bills for what we do. Lust. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. Now notice what Jesus said. The lust is from Satan. Lust is not from God. Greed, covetousness is not the spirit, the fruit of Christ. Lust, greed, covetousness is the spirit of the devil. Jesus said to the Pharisees, you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father. Your lust is of your father the devil. Now that lust is in you. And the lust of your father ye will do. You will do what the devil constrains, compels you to do, because his lust, his greed, his covetousness is in your spirit, in your heart. This morning about 6:30, I was grazing the Christian channels. There's Rod Parsley. It was humorous to me. Reminded me of the poem that I made up and I shared weeks ago with you, where Peter and John, and I changed it, of course. Peter and John going to the temple at the third hour of prayer, which that would mean 9 o'clock in the morning, third hour, 6 to 9. 6 would be the beginning hour. 9 is the third hour. 12 is the sixth hour. The ninth hour would be 3 o'clock. They were entering into the temple. They passed by the gate beautiful. They said, silver and gold have we none, but such as we have, give unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ. Arise and walk. And immediately his feet, his ankle bones receiving strength, he stood up, he walked, he leaped, he entered into the temple, walking, leaping, and praising God. And I changed that as a little poem about today's church. Silver and gold have we some. Wish we could do for you what Peter and John done. You lay here, you remain lame. I'll be back to tell you my profit and gain. So this morning I'm grazing the Christian channels, and I run across Rod Parsley. Good old Rod. And he had his little rhyme. And this is no joke. He said, some of you are sitting there with a seed, and God is dealing with you about giving that seed to a ministry that has a need. So he's using the word seed and need, seed and need. Hey, Rod, what about the people sitting there who have a need? Do you care about helping them? I don't mind telling you, we just sent a $1,000 offering to a 77-year-old widow missionary in Africa. She's had a hip replacement, mastectomy, I think double mastectomy. And she listens to this program faithfully and says, you're feeding us. And she's helping to teach these pastors. And you know what she mentioned in her email? She said, the prosperity message has corrupted them. You never hear a prosperity preacher teach and preach from the 1 Timothy chapter 6. You never hear them preach, having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. We brought nothing into this world, it is certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. The love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after, they've erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Why don't they ever preach that passage? Because that passage rebukes prosperity preaching. Getting back to my point, the lust of your father ye will do. Jesus said he was a murderer from the beginning. Now, what exactly does that mean, murderer? Murderer of the eternal souls of men. Now, he didn't shoot Adam and Eve or behead them or cut them or pierce them with the sword, but they died. They died because they listened to the evil one. They died because they listened to the wicked one, Satan. So he's a murderer. Jesus said, he abides not in the truth. He abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. He is a liar and the father of it. Every lie is fathered by the devil. Adrian Rogers, the most profound statement I ever heard the man make was, no man is more like the devil than when he lies. When he lies, liars are more like the devil than any thing or time in their life. They're more like the devil. Why? They lie. Liars. And that's why Revelation 21:8, all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. There's a place in hell, a place in the lake of fire specifically for liars. How many politicians are going to make it to heaven? They lie to deceive the people. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to cut deficit spending. I'm going to cut taxes. They all get there, and we never see that happen. Now, I know there may be some that go there. If they're not careful, they get entwined in that corruption, and they lose their convictions. They sell out. They sell out. Bought and paid for by the lobbyist. Sin is lustful. Sin is covetousness. Sin is hatefulness. Sin is evil. Sin is rebellious. and every kind of evil act that can be imagined. That's what sin is. Now, you're not going to hear your nominal television, radio preacher teach or preach about sin, because that's condescending. That's belittling the people. We want the people to feel good at our church. Yeah, you can fornicate. You can shack up. You can drink your liquor. You can smoke your coke. You can snort your coke. You can smoke your dope, your pot. You can watch pornography. You can get drunk. You can wife swap. You can be a homosexual. You can be an adulterer. You can be a fornicator. You can be a drunkard. We're not going to mention any kind of sin. God forbid we talk about sin in the church. Sin is evil. Every kind of evil that can be imagined is from one entity, that is Satan. Genesis 6 and 5 is a portrait of the world today. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. In other words, man's whole mind, man's whole thoughts, man's whole imagination, everything about his mind, his brain, his conscience, his subconscious, everything about him was on evil continually. How about the ethical verbiage and terms they're arguing about now, whether it's a robot or a sex robot? What is going on here? Making robots for sexual gratification. You see, there's no end to man's imagination. It's dehumanizing people. You don't have to, if you're young and dating, you don't have to take a robot out to dinner. You don't have to feed her, open the door for her. You don't have to be a gentleman. Do anything you want. And they're making these robots with the ability to sense. It's gone beyond artificial intelligence. They're dealing with now human emotions. In my interview in the green room with Hugo de Garis, and I'll say it again, but I believe that interview was greater than his presentation in the meeting. He talked about how the brain, our human brain, works, functions through chemicals. Different chemicals are secreted. That's why Steve's book on tears, every tear is like a snowflake. Every tear is different because there are different chemicals in that tear. Hugo says the brain is chemically run and functions through the chemicals that are excreted, supplying, meeting the demand that is placed upon the body. And he said the reason artificial intelligence is dangerous is because it will be faster and quicker, because now it will be electronically. It's like my brain. Only God knows how many Bible verses are in my head. I couldn't tell you. It's into the thousands. I don't say that braggingly, but it's just a reality. But the point is, I have to stop. I have to think for a moment to know where to go in what Old or New Testament, what book, what chapter, what verse. I have to pause sometimes, and sometimes you even see me get wrong, and I correct myself here while I'm on the air. I correct myself. I say, well, it's Psalms 34:6, but I quoted Psalms 34:4, and so I say I got to correct that. Well, see, a computer wouldn't do that. The only reason the computer would make the error is because I typed in the wrong information. If I give the computer the right information, it'll give you the right Bible verse every time. But I can't do that sometimes because I have limitations. And when Hugo began to explain that, I began to see and understand in my mind, my little pea brain, the danger of what he's talking about relative to artificial intelligence. Because now man's brain, his whole conscious, subconscious, is on evil continually. The other night, I had a dream. It wasn't 15 seconds. And I suppose God was trying to remind me of something he showed me years ago. And that was this. And if you can remember, you'll remember when I made this statement, probably 12, 15 years ago. We've been told we're human beings having spiritual experiences. And years ago, the Lord said, no, that's totally wrong. You are a spiritual being. What you're having is a human experience. Because when you die, your humanity dies, but your spirituality goes on forever. It doesn't cease. And I dreamed that long enough to recapture that statement in my spirit for maybe like today's program. You're not a human being having spiritual experiences. You are a spiritual being having human experiences. Because once you die, your humanity, your corpse, your carcass, your necros goes back to the earth from which it came. But your spirit and your soul lives on. It lives on. That's why years ago God showed me. If you die with Parkinson's disease, you die with psychosis, cancer, dementia, whatever, you will possess those aberrations, you will possess those anomalies all your eternal life because you don't get a new body. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul said there is a physical body, there is a spiritual body. Both are deemed scripturally as bodies. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? A spiritual body? A physical body? First Corinthians 15:44. There is a natural body. There is a spiritual body. You say, why are you bringing this up? I'm going somewhere with this today. Now, most people will read that, they go right over, they gloss right over it. They don't see anything there. That is a revelation. There is a natural body, there is a spiritual body. Both are bodies. I'm going to show you something. As a matter of fact, you will get this. If you bother to get the new DVD series, we've really been putting out some new DVDs. Revelation chapter 12 explained the great white throne judgment. We exegete the whole 20th chapter of Revelation. They're on the website. I use this verse. There is a natural body. There is a spiritual body. And in Luke chapter 16, we see the rich man in hell. We see him there. Jesus is giving us a visual as well as auditory understanding of what's taking place with this man while he's in hell. I want you to notice something about what you read in Luke 16. You see four of the five senses of the man. You see four of the five senses of our humanity: smell, touch, taste, feel, and see. Here, I left out one. The only sense of the five senses that you do not witness with the rich man in hell was the sense of smell. But he had eyes to see. He had ears to hear. He could taste, and he could also feel or touch. Have Lazarus dip his finger in water and touch the tip of my tongue, for I'm tormented in these flames. He was able to see. He's communicating. He's hearing. He can touch. He can also taste. He wanted water. The only sense we don't see in Luke 16 is the sense of smell. But I and you both have heard, and people who have had these encounters with death, they could smell the stench and the rot, the putrefaction in hell. So when Paul says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 44, there is a natural body, there is a spiritual body, in a sense, he's not making a delineation. The delineation is one is natural, one is spiritual. That's the delineation, which tells me what is the same, what is harmonious between the physical and the spiritual is the senses. You keep those senses. Can you imagine being in hell and you have dementia? You have psychosis. You have psychosis. What a terrible element in your life. And to be devoid of all of that is lacking any kind of freedom. You're lacking. That's you're without. You are deprived. You are wholly, completely deleted of reality. Yet you will sense pain, suffering, agony. I believe you will have unfathomable memory of every opportunity that you had to accept Jesus as your Savior, but you spurned, you rejected the call, the plea of the Holy Spirit. You said no. I'm not going to give my life to Jesus. You will rehearse for thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of years the opportunity to have come to Christ, but it's too late. You will rehearse YouTube videos. You will rehearse radio programs. You will rehearse church services. You will rehearse in these meetings that we have, these revival meetings we're going to start doing. You will rehearse these opportunities that you had, and you said no. Or you have come to the saving grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, but you backslid. You forfeited your heavenly reward. You said, like Esau, I'll sell my spiritual birthright. When you become born again, you have rights and privileges in the kingdom of God. And you say, forget that. I'd rather have that woman. I'd rather have that money. I'd rather have that job. I'd rather have that man. I'd rather have those things than I had God. So I know it's not right, so I'm going to leave it. I've gotten some very sad letters through the years of people who have knowingly left their marriage, remarried, come back to the Lord, and they live in torment about past relationships. Was it right? Was it wrong? Was I really a Christian and then committed adultery? And am I legally living in adultery, or am I legally married? All of these questions. You see, this is all because of sin. And I thank God I'm not the judge of any man, woman, boy, or girl. I do believe God forgives sin, all sin. But I'm not the judge. But when you read the letters, you read the emails, and you sense the agony, the anguish, the pain, it's upsetting. I just said in a newsletter, I can't remember when I said it, because I write so much and I talk so much and do so many radio programs and all of these things. But I was talking about sin. I can't trifle with sin. I came from a broken home and I once was a backslider. People wonder why sometimes he's just too hard. He's hellfire and brimstone. The problem with preachers today is they don't spend any time in the presence of God. Sunday morning I was praying. Before I went to pray, Kevin put on my desk this missionary. And she talked about her hip replacement, her mastectomy, lack of funds, husband's dead, cancer. And I read that right before I got down to pray. And I repented. I said, God, forgive me of my insensitivity at times. Now, is that a sin? No. But when you get in the presence of God, something happens to your thinking. You've heard me make the statement scores of times. I may pray, my circumstance, they don't change one iota, but I change because I have been in the presence of God. When I get in the presence of God and I remember you in prayer, a family, a colleague, I prayed for so many people Sunday. That's, I reckon, what started me off on praying like that was that missionary, 77 years old. And it got me to praying, and I called so many names I called in prayer. But it unctionized me to pray for people. You say, well, do you pray for me? I guarantee you, when the Holy Spirit brings your name, like Jay and Francis Crosswaite, if God brings your name to me, Neil, Patrick, Evelyn, Dwayne, I could just sit here and just go on and on and on and on and on. When the Spirit of God brings you to my mind, I intercede for you. I intercede for you. There are some of you, you know me, I know you. You don't support me, but I pray for you. When the Spirit of God leads me into that mode, I just sit there in my prayer, and all I do is call name after name after name after name after name after name. Paul prayed for the church. I don't see where Paul ever prayed for a denomination. He prayed for people. You heard the series on denominationalism. It's not of God. It never was of God. It's man-made, and it's corrupt. It's corrupt. It's corrupt. If you haven't ever listened to the series, Denominational Chaos and the Storm, you're missing a plethora, a boatload of gospel and truth. I give scores and scores of Bible scriptures telling you why. Not just because I said so. I hated that as a child. I want to go to Tim's house and play softball. No. Why? Because I said so. I hated that. I never said that once to my children. Never once. Why? I hated it. Don't just tell me because you said so. Give me a legitimate reason. I give you all the Bible that I know and that I understand to help you to understand who you are, where you are, and why you need to walk this way in the Word of God and in the Holy Ghost. Just like I said today in 1 Corinthians 15:44, there is a natural body, there is a spiritual body, there is a dichotomy there. But there's also a similarity there, and that similarity is in the five senses. Because the rich man in hell could see, hear, taste, touch. He just couldn't, I'm sure he could smell. We just don't see that in the text. I shared this with a man the other day, and he said, "You're blowing me away." And this guy's a devout Christian, has been one for 40 years. He said, "You're telling me things I've never heard discussed, mentioned, ever. How much have you learned from the voice of evangelism? How much have you grown in the voice of evangelism? How much have you learned?" You cannot measure the knowledge that God has conveyed. And there are those of you have such a voracious appetite for this book. Some of you, you just listen to get a spiritual high. You're like a junkie. You want to get high. Is there any negative prophecies? You know, some people want to hear about all the earthquakes, all the war, all the famine, all the pestilence. That's going to happen. But I've got to preach and teach a balanced dietary program of God's Word. I just can't stay on one subject. I reckon I'm being a continuing pastoring, preaching from a pastoral perspective. So you can know Jesus Christ in a far greater way. Sin. Sin is cruel. Sin will maim you. Sin will blind you. Sin will eviscerate you. Sin will do so much to you that it's incomprehensible what sin will do to mankind. And yet people, they cannot see it, they cannot grasp it, they cannot understand it. And they continue to live in sin. Though they know the unfathomable damage that is taking place, they just keep on sinning and living in sin. Some of you listening to me today, I want to encourage you to take a moment to reflect right now. Reflect on your life. Look at the hurt. Look at the damage. Look at the suffering. Not only you, those around you, the heartache, the grief, the multitude of tears that your mama has shed over your gross sins. Oh, your dad, he's a man. He's a man's man. But sir, your dad has wept over your sins, over your nonsense, over your shenanigans as much as your mama has. Your sins have broken your dad. Your sins have separated you from a goodly, godly, wholesome relationship in Jesus. Sin. Are you not tired of being locked up? Are you not tired of having your driver's license revoked? Are you not tired of waking up and having no idea where you are, what you've done, who you injured, who you harmed, who you hurt? Aren't you tired of that? I'm going to pray today for the lost and the backslider. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, I too was a backslider. I too had drifted, and I had wafted so far away from the harbor and the haven of rest for my soul. But God, you're a God that is rich in love, a God that is rich in mercy, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the saving grace and the knowledge of your Son. You brought me back. June the 6th, 1978, 41 years ago. You took me out of the gutter. You took me out of the nightlife. And you shined your light on my path. You restored, you redeemed my soul that was hellbound. I was held captive to sin, darkness, sorrow, pain, grief, turmoil. But you broke the chains of bondage and you set me free. Thank you, Jesus of Nazareth, for the power of your shed blood that redeems men from sin and redeems man from iniquity. You set us free from the bondages that hold us captive. Every sinner listening to me, every backslider listening to me today, tonight, wherever you are, whenever you're listening to this, whenever you might be watching this, repent. Turn from your wicked ways. Turn from your evil ways. Turn. In the name of Jesus, I command you to turn from your sins and fall on your knees and prostrate yourself before the King of Glory and ask God for the forgiveness of sins. When Nathan the prophet indicted the king of Israel, David, David said, "O God, take not thy Holy Spirit from me." He knew what was important. He knew what was significant. It wasn't his kingdom. It wasn't his military might. It wasn't his many, many battles he won. He said, "Just don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Confess your sin. Acknowledge your sin. Do not be proud and self-righteous and bigoted and say, I don't have anything to repent of." We all have sins that we can repent of because God is a holy God. I said he's a holy God, and we're an unholy people. We are an unclean people. We need the precious blood applied to our hearts and applied to our lives. Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, I ask you, Lord, to touch the hearts, the lives, the minds of everyone listening to this broadcast today, that they will turn. They will turn from their evil. They will seek your face. They will seek your counsel. And you will show them the way. Make the path plain for every one of us, Lord. For time is short. And calamity and calamitous events are coming to America, whether we believe it or not. We cannot remain in our sins and not suffer the consequences of evil. God, touch every listener, touch every home, touch every family, touch every marriage, every son, every daughter, every husband, every wife, every mom, every dad, every niece, every nephew, every grandparent. God, touch all. Let not these messages go and return void, but let them accomplish that which will prosper wherein the thing that you send it, Father. We ask it all in Jesus' name. God bless you. I'll see you Monday in the Lord. Have a great week and a great weekend.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.